What's going on, successors? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success in the Morning. Glad to have you all here today. Glad to have the opportunity to be here with you today. Today is Thursday, December 18th, 2025, and y'all already know it's a great day to be alive. Y'all, here on Speak Your Success in the Morning, you always can expect a few things. There's always going to be some things that are for certain and three things that are for sure. The first thing is that we're always going to give you a little bit of education. All right, like to make sure that we start off the day with some information that you can use. That's the education. Then we're going to bring you some empowerment. We like to kick back. We like to make sure that you're encouraged going into the week. And of course, in 2025 and beyond, you got to laugh a little bit. You got to live a little bit. You got to love a little bit. So we're going to bring you entertainment. All right, entertainment, education, and empowerment every single day. Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Standard to 7 a.m. Central Standard. And family, today is just like any other day of the week. Today, we have an amazing show lined up for you. We have the phenomenal attorney Fred Jones today, because today is Thursday, right? And today is our law talk show, where we dive in and we bring some topics to the show, and we bring our residential attorney here on set. Right here on set, and then we dive in and we talk about these things with information that you can apply toward your life. All right, so family, today, excited to be here, glad to be here with you, and we have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about some of the benefits of AI agents, aka AI chatbots. Right, so what these bots, these agents, what are they? What's the benefits? We're going to dive into that just a little bit later on in the show. So glad that y'all are here with us today, like I said. And now what I want to do is I want to transition, and I want to get ready for Straight from the Source. But even before we go there, I want to just talk a little bit about what I had the opportunity to do yesterday. Right, had the opportunity and the privilege yesterday to join a group of men who's known as the Daddy Stroller Social Club. And last night there was a sneak peek of the preview Anaconda. Right, this movie was with Jack Black and Paul Rudd. And actually, I'm not gonna say much about it, because actually they said in the screening we're not supposed to talk too much about it. But I just want to say great opportunity, great event to participate in last night, hanging out at the AMC in North Park in the DFW area. All right, in the DFW area. Now we're gonna go ahead and transition. Like I said, we're gonna get into our Straight from the Source segment. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and dive into that, and I want to set this text up today, and I want to say to you, if you're somebody who, you know, has ever been in a spot, ever been in a space, ever been in a position to where you felt broken, right, to where you felt broken beyond repair, you felt like maybe you've fallen. You felt that maybe you've sinned, and you maybe have felt that God has either forgotten about you, or you felt like God couldn't use you anymore. Is that anybody? Let me know, somebody in the comments. Let me know. Just drop something in the chat and let me know today. Because so often the Bible tells us that we all fall short of the glory of God. But the Bible also tells us, even more than that, the Bible tells us people who have fallen and God still found a way to use them. So today I want to play this quick clip for you, and then I want to break this down a little bit with our scripture today for our time.
Abraham was a liar. Noah, an alcoholic. Job doubted God several times. Samson was promiscuous. David was a hoe and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Peter was embarrassed to let folk know he knew Jesus. Rahab, prostitute. The disciples often were weak, jealous of each other, and even fell asleep on Jesus the night he was arrested. The Samaritan woman couldn't even keep her husband, and Moses had anxiety. So what's so bad that you've done that God can't use you? Abraham was a liar.
So right there in as I like to call him, Uncle Kirk, right? Uncle Kirk. So right there, he just gave us a variety of individuals who had a variety of different struggles to where you might have heard, and throughout the course of that, you might say, well, John, that resonates with me, or John, that one resonates with me. Or maybe you might have a struggle that wasn't listed. Either way, what I want to do today, I want to just shine some light, because he made mention of Samson. So now we're gonna go ahead and call Samson up front. And in Judges chapter 16, verses 28 through 30, I'm gonna break down the tail end of Samson's life. But before we get there, Samson was a man who God had given, I want to call it God-like strength, because it was God-given. So this was strength that nobody else had to this point. This was strength to where Samson had the ability to slay multiple men, right? He had the ability to ultimately, if the Hulk was a real person, right, from the Avengers, if the Hulk was a real person, I think that's the level of strength that Samson had. But Samson had the struggle and the temptation of falling victim to the women were his weakness, right? Women, we know about Delilah. Delilah was that weakness for him. And then one day, right? And I would encourage you to read the full chapter of Judges 16 to get the full context of his story, because I don't have time to completely break it down today. But ultimately, his strength was in his hair. Delilah cut his hair, and then Samson was ultimately not able to really utilize the strength because he was then made weak. Okay, so now let's jump into our text. And verse 28 says, then Samson called to the Lord and said, Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time. Oh God, that I may at once take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Right? Then Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand, the other with his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed outward powerfully so that the house fell on the governors and all the people who were in it. And the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed during his lifetime. My God. Then his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him, and they brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtal in the tomb of his father Manoah. So he had judged Israel for 20 years. Family, the points I want to take out for this text today, what I really want to pull out and what I really want to share is that at the end of the day, right, despite what your sin is, and despite of where you feel you have done something, you feel you've fallen short of the glory of God, there's grace. There's grace for that, and I don't want to over spiritualize it, and I don't want us just to think that if we sin, then you know, just sin to where you can keep on sinning. I'm not encouraging that, but what I am encouraging is that the Bible tells us that if we draw near to God, then He'll draw near to us. In this text, Samson is showing and revealing himself drawing near to God, and God is meeting him where he was at. Samson lost all his strength when his hair was cut. However, God, the same person that gave him that strength, he also redeemed him in this moment. Samson said, God, I've seen my wrong. I know where I've fallen short. Father, please allow me one more time to do right by you, to right this wrong. And God redeemed that strength in that moment and allowed Samson to then take down the Philistines. So understanding that, the first thing I want to share is that ultimately that through his repentance, at his lowest, he turns back to God. And he was able to receive the Spirit of the Lord for his final act, which shows that God answers repentant pleas, right? In addition to that, it shows God's power and God's sovereignty, because God still uses Samson's weakness and death to ultimately achieve a greater purpose, defeating Israel's enemies and humbling the Philistines and their idol. So despite where you feel you've fallen, and despite if you think that you're out of the will of God, God still can use quote unquote broken people. God still can use sinful people. God still can use fallen people, and he will ultimately for his purpose, because at the end of the day, he will get the glory for it. So I want you to think about this, right? As we get ready to wrap our segment today. Fulfilling purpose, right? Through fulfilling purpose, through Samson's failed, through him failing personally, his final act was fulfilled through his God-given mission as Israel's deliverer, if you will, resulting in more enemy deaths than in his entire life. Imagine that, right? Imagine, because the Bible talks about God having the ability to redeem time. Imagine if there was a point, there was a time in your life, which might seem like the majority of your life, to where you felt broken, you felt that you're having this sin struggle, and you've just continued in a long period of time. But then you turn back to God and you ask for forgiveness. You turn back to God and you ask him to do something new in you. You turn back to God, and then in that instant, or for the next years or months or weeks of your life, now you begin to operate in the will of God. Now you begin to follow in the purpose that he has for you. And now you begin to see, and now what's revealed is that in that shorter amount of time, God was able to do more with you than in the previous years of your life. So know and understand God has a purpose for your life, despite what it looks like. God has perfect timing, and God is the only one who can redeem time. So today, be encouraged. Today, know that, yes, we all fall short of the glory of God, but also know that the grace of God covers a multitude of sins. The grace of God can cover you, can keep you, can redeem you, and elevate you. Family, that was straight from the source today. If you enjoyed this content, make sure that you hit the thumbs up button on YouTube, and also make sure that you subscribe to Speak Your Success Media right here on YouTube so you don't miss any episodes. We're about to take a quick commercial break, and then when we return, we're going to have attorney Fred Jones today to talk with us about AI agents. What's the benefit of AI agents? What are these things? We need to talk with attorney Fred Jones right after this. Do you want to feel confident in your skin every day? Introducing Skin Rituals, a luxury home-based skin studio that specializes in hyperpigmentation, acne, and personalized treatments for every skin type. Owned by solo esthetician and registered nurse, Courtney Durham, Skin Rituals is all about curating facial treatments designed just for you. Hydrate, brighten, nourish, and soothe your skin with expert care and cutting-edge techniques that promote natural healing. Whether you're looking for a relaxing facial or a transformative chemical peel, Skin Rituals offers results-driven treatment tailored to your needs. With over 7 years of experience, Courtney's goal is to help you safely achieve the healthy skin that you deserve. At Skin Rituals, we believe that taking care of your skin is an investment in your confidence. Book your appointment today and leave every session feeling grateful for the choice that you made to take care of yourself. Skin Rituals, because your skin deserves the very best.
Family, welcome back to Speak Your Success in the Morning. Hope you all have an amazing day. We're currently 15 minutes after the hour here on Speak Your Success. And y'all, just like I said before, man, I'm always excited, and I'm extremely elated anytime that I get the opportunity to be able to do life with people that I want to do life with. Right. You know, it's one thing to have to do life with certain people, but it's another thing to have the privilege and the pleasure to do life with people that you choose to. So now, without further ado, I want to bring out the best attorney that I know, one of the best in the business. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead. We're going to bring out attorney Fred Jones to the stage. One moment, Dad. I got you out of there. Okay, Dad. Welcome. How are we feeling this morning?
Good. Feeling great.
Excellent. Oh, are you? I see you're in the festive mood. I see your jacket that you have on there. Is that your Christmas jacket, sir?
It's Christmas time.
Are you ready for Christmas? And what does that mean for you?
Ready for Christmas means. It's a mindset, right? Everything is a mindset. Looking forward to the grands coming for Christmas, you know, that kind of thing, you know? So am I ready for it? Yeah, we're ready. We're just ready. And Alabama's ready for Christmas.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Okay, now, so as of late, you know, one thing that we've seen, especially we've heard you talk about it frequently and often about AI. Right. In 2025, people have thrown around the term AI in 2025. Also, you know, we've seen AI just really revolutionize a lot of things. Right. In business, in living, in optimizing people's lives. That's one of the phrases that I probably hear most, like optimize your life. But now I want one thing I want us to dive into, and I want to talk about a little bit today, is this term that seems like new and cutting edge. Can you share with us a little bit about like chatbots? This is something I hear. What is a chatbot or an AI bot? Can you bring some clarity there for us?
John, why don't we step back and talk about what is AI? What is AI? A many valued approach to deductive and reasoning for artificial intelligence. Carrie DeBassinet. This is my law school professor, and he published this book in, take a stab at what year he published this book in.
Well, I don't know.
Copyright.
1991.
Okay. And this book was this is artificial intelligence. Carrie DeBassinet, AI project, Louisiana State Law Institute, and Southern University. You know, I'm a Southern University Law School graduate. Mm-hmm. Okay. Professor DeBassinet was my contracts professor in law school. In 1991, this was the first time I heard the word intellectual property. So I've had a love for this subject ever since 1991. I'm true to this. And I hear a lot of people talking about AI. And what a thing that really tickled me, man. It pushed me to your question, okay? So make me answer your question, because one of the things that tickled me is all these people who want to give legal advice about copyrights, trademarks, and they don't touch patents too much. You don't hear much on patents yet. They ain't talking about publishing patents. But they're giving all of this advice around intellectual property and artificial intelligence. And I'm telling you, we should get the t-shirt, John. The most expensive thing you'll ever pay is attention to the wrong people. The most expensive thing you'll ever pay. What is artificial intelligence? It's machine learning. You want it in two words? It's machine learning. It's mechanical information, okay? It's computer-generated information. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called artificial. It ain't called real intelligence. It's called artificial intelligence. The computer pulls it together, synthesizes it, and anticipate the next word that will follow this sequence of words. So the computer goes into a, watch this, if you listen, write this down in your notes. Mm-hmm. If this, then that. One more time for us in the West over here. We don't like things to be repeated. I heard you the first time. You said you think you heard me the first time. That's why, I started to say something, John. I need to be nice. That's why we so slow over here in the West. We done heard stuff, and we think we done understood stuff, and we don't understand. Scripture tells us to get knowledge, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get an understanding.
That's
okay?
So
artificial intelligence is in machine intelligence. It's computer intelligence. It's math. It's doing math with words. It's putting words together that make sentences. And therefore, the law says it's artificial. The law does not make that human intelligence. Okay? And that intelligence cannot be copyrighted. Now, I don't know if I'm in the weeds or not, but I hope you tell me if you got a handle around artificial intelligence, because it's information and knowledge that has been derived from a machine. And it cannot be copyrighted in and of itself. That's step number one.
Okay. Got that. Understood.
And Dad, okay, so now, okay, so as we're talking about AI, but let's start from the top. What is the value of an AI bot?
Okay, what is the value of an AI bot
in a business? Yeah, what is the value of an AI bot within a business? Right, you know, 2025 business owners, entrepreneurs, like where's the value of having a chat bot within your business? Talk about that for us a little bit, Dad.
When you go to the United States Copyright Office website, what do you find at the bottom of the website? FAQs. Mm-hmm. If you go to a car dealer website, at the bottom, you're going to find what? FAQs. Any website generally is going to have an FAQ section. Why can't we create a bot to answer all those questions? What is a bot? A bot is a machine learning, it's a robot. Bot is short for robot. And you put a robot on your site, and then you give it Jonathan's voice, and you say, hey, I'm glad to have you here. I'm glad you came to my site. And what's your question today? And you say, well, I want to hear about Speak Your Success. Well, tell me about it. Where did you get that idea from? I got that idea from this. I got that idea from that. How many times have you gone to a website and you wanted customer service? And they say, do you want to speak to somebody on the phone or do you want to chat with somebody? That chat person is no longer a physical person in many of these companies now. That chat person is a bot, a robot that has been given your voice and given your content into your computer or your interface. And that content has been organized and synthesized in a way that it can answer those questions without a human being present. The value of it is, how much do you pay a customer service person a year? $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, whatever amount you pay that person. And if you got five people answering the phone and doing customer service, and you're paying all of them $20,000 a year or whatever, $50,000 a year, you got $100,000 or $500,000 savings when you go create an AI agent to answer those questions. That's the value of a bot. Let's just say that's just a customer service bot.
Okay, so what you're saying is there's multiple different types of AI bots.
Oh yeah. Name something that is repetitive in your business. Name something that you do over and over again. Let's talk about sales calls. How many calls do you get a day from people in the loan institution or financial institution who are making calls every day on the phone saying, hey, we looked at your credit report and we want to loan you some money. We got some funds here for you. And they have these lending apps. That's a voice robot calling you, making you an offer. And guess what? How many times have we said this? In business, it's the math. It's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. Everybody that you call ain't going to just hang up the phone and say no. Everybody that the robot called is not going to say no. Somebody going to say, yes, here's my information. Fill out this application. I need to make that loan. And if you get 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20, 1 out of 50, whatever your ratio is, then all you got to do is turn up the volume on the bot and get more numbers, and you're going to see your ratio, how you can begin to scale your business. Got customer service bots. You got sales bots. You got any calendar bots. You got a bot that can manage your calendar. All of these things and all of these repetitive tasks, send your emails.
Yeah. I know that's one that's really useful. Because there's one point, you know, I was doing a lot of webinars in my business, and you know, either having somebody send out those emails, or even having somebody or having a way to where I can send out multiple follow-up emails and different things like that, because emails for me have been a bottleneck in my business, taking time to come up with content to put in the email and different things like that. But you know, now hearing you sit here and talk about agents and hearing that this is a way that, you know, that can be utilized, that definitely would save time, I know, for me and my business and many other entrepreneurs as well.
If you're not using AI agents, I would encourage you to go Google it and learn how to build one. I'm in the process of learning to build agents. I'm in an AI certification program right now myself. And I love learning about AI. But we got to always remember that HI combined with AI is going to make you and I profitable. I'll say that again. HI, human intelligence, combined with AI, artificial intelligence, is what's going to make us profitable. Now, here's a big mistake that I see many people making, John. They don't understand IP. They don't understand intellectual property. We're still getting copyrights and trademarks mixed up. We're thinking that just because ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude or whoever puts a TM by whatever we put into the machine, it puts a TM on there, we feel like we protected. We feel like we safe. Well, that's dangerous, okay? Because here's the deal. To a certain extent, that's about that much truth there, because with a trademark, it's the first to use, right? But you got to use the trademark and continue to use the trademark in a way that you can own and show commercial use with the mark in order for you to have exclusive ownership with it. That's the thing. So many people get a trademark, don't use it, just sit there with it and have it. And guess what? Somebody else come along and use that mark and use it in a business way and use it more consistently, and then put advertising dollars behind it, and all of a sudden you are sucking dust, but you were the first one to use that. And what I just gave to you was a case against OpenAI. That was a legit, that was a case. That fact pattern I just gave you, OpenAI was not originally the brand that it is today. Someone else had that concept, but they didn't use it. They didn't promote it. And the courts ruled that the new brand that was using OpenAI had priority and apps and ownership of the mark.
Okay. So you were just talking about trademarking with the first to use, and you know, ultimately you're not using it, you're losing it for somebody stepping up in this instance. But I want to transition a little bit here. And you, because you made mention of there's multiple bots. So what are the few core categories that we would say that are potential bots that could be used within a business? Let's go there.
Bots that can be used in a business. A bot can be an executive assistant. Okay. A research bot. Okay. Here's one that's really good, and that is setting up a bot. And this is something as simple as a reminder or a scheduler. Run for me all the information on the internet concerning bestseller. Give me a daily report of what Amazon is doing as it relates to bestsellers. How is this developing? Mm-hmm. You can set up an automation bot to send you that information every day. I have a bot set up to bring me AI and IP news. Give me anything that's happening in the country, in the world, on AI and IP. So you can set up a news bot. You can set up a schedule bot. You can also set up a bot. I've heard of people setting up bots to manage the stock market. Tell me what particular stock is doing each day. Let me know where it's going, high or low. Give me a report on this stock every day. That's another bot. I'll give you another one that's also real hot in business, and that is real estate. Realtors are using bots all day, every day. List all the properties on this particular, in this category. List new properties that have hit the market in the last 48 hours or 24 hours. What properties have sold? What properties are selling? Getting the reports on realtors, hot in the area of bots.
Man. Okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, I definitely could see the advantage of that, especially like what you mentioned earlier, just in terms of like having a bot allows you to save time, allows you to save dollars. And I mean, it's one thing for somebody who's in the real estate business and, you know, they're searching for properties and they're submitting deals, but then they have to go to sleep at some point in time, right? They got to lay down, they got to go night. But what if there was a bot for you that's going in and that's continuing to research deals, and there's one bot for you that's scraping the internet
and pulling all those properties you just listed off, that the listed what you listed like in the last 48 hours, and then they're putting together a list for you to begin, yeah. You know, when you're in that position, then that really does give you a super competitive advantage over everybody else in the competition.
Yeah, the bot doesn't sleep. The bot doesn't call in sick. Mm. The bot doesn't want a vacation pay. The bot just works 24/7. And if you're not using bots, or if you're not leaning into bots, bots are like apps. Remember when the apps first came out? I remember when apps came out and everybody was talking about, get this app, get that app, get that app. And everybody was kind of like, you know, pushing back. And now apps, now if you don't have an app, you ain't even, you know, you're just not there. That's the same thing is happening with bots now, robots. I mean, we're moving to the point where they're going to be robots to clean your house. You already got that little sweeper thing that runs around. Yeah. Okay. And it go boom, 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 bump up against the walls and stuff. You know, you got that thing, right? And so that's a robot. That's a robot. And so I think that it's a time for us to lean in on all this stuff instead of being afraid of it. I mean, yeah, I mean, this stuff in the hands of the wrong people, it's the same thing with a kitchen knife. You put that in the hands of somebody that's not responsible, somebody gonna get hurt. But if you put it in the hands of a butcher, you're gonna have something real good to eat in a little few minutes. Mm. It's all about how you use it and who has it.
Okay, so as we're looking at that, and as we're talking about it potentially being harmful, one question I have for you is like what about like in terms of people's jobs, right? Are bots going to be harmful to people's jobs? Because I know this is one of the things that people are always fearful about when it comes to AI. So how harmful can an AI chatbot be to somebody's job?
Depends on the job. If you're a plumber and you're plumbing, AI ain't gonna get in that hole and dig that hole and get under the house and put that pipe together. If you're an electrician, AI is not going to climb up in that wall and drag that power line. Mm. You see what I'm saying? There's certain things AI will not be able to do. The problem is not with AI. The problem is people haven't found who they are and what they can do that AI can't do. I'll say that again. The problem is people haven't taken the time to find out what it is that they do that AI can never do. Will AI cause people to lose their jobs? Absolutely it will. People can spin this all the way they want. AI ain't going to lose your job, but it's the people who using AI going to lose their job. No, hell no. A lot of folk going to get fired. A lot of people done got fired. A lot of more people gonna get fired. What's that number? Over 300,000 women or something?
Oh, 350,000 plus.
Mm-hmm. 300,000 plus that lost their jobs in the first quarter. So those some real darn numbers. Those are real numbers. So people are gonna lose their jobs. But you might want to be figuring out how to use AI. And John, it goes back. My message hadn't changed. Write a book, build a brand, and grow a business. Your story is your most unique intellectual property asset and can't nobody duplicate it. And if you will tell your story, you will be on the short bus to the bank. Mm. Because your story is what's going to distinguish you in this, while we are moving into this sea of sameness. Do you follow what I'm saying? Mm. The sea of sameness. Bots, robots, AI, ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, all of these things at some point going to begin to sound the same. But your story will never be the same as anybody else's. And that's why we as intellectual property machines should lean into IP and not be afraid of AI and mix HI with IP, HI with AI and produce IP. I'll say it again. Mix HI, human intelligence, that's your story. Okay. That's your uniqueness,
okay.
Right?
Human
there.
Intelligence. Okay.
Take your unique story and then put it into AI and let AI synthesize it and organize it. That's still your intellectual property right there. And now you can create IP. So it's HI, AI, and IP.
Understood. And with your human experience, you know, being a barred attorney, and you know, with your legal experience, I want to ask you this one. What if an AI chatbot gives bad advice that causes real harm? Who is legally on the hook for that?
Now you want to pull out the lawyer in me here now.
let's talk. Law talk with Attorney Fred Jones. Let's talk about it.
If a bot gives bad advice, and it can be shown that the robot caused the harm or caused the person to harm themselves, there could be several people liable. Number one, who created the bot? Number two, what platform was it on? Number three, how did you hear about it? Number four, how did you connect and interact with that bot? So it's not a simple answer as it was the person who created the bot, or it was the person who made it available or promoted the bot. Anybody that's connected with the creation and the delivery of that robot or that chat bot could have some degree of liability that would have to be pulled out in a court. Okay, what are chat bots? Yeah, that's good right there. You know, but there several people could be liable, but we're going to have to show that they caused the harm. You got to show a connection between them causing it. And if you're an adult, 18 years old or above, chances are you probably consented to something before you interface with that bot. So many of us sign on to these platforms and get on the computer and we say, yes, yes, I consent, and just consenting your whole life away, our lives away. But we don't read all those disclosures.
Yeah, and speaking about consenting and even talking about just with data and data privacy risk, what would you say are some of the biggest data privacy risks with businesses that underestimate? What are the biggest data privacy risks businesses underestimate with AI chatbots?
The biggest risk of a business owner is not being aware of where your data is going, who's using that data, where is it stored, concerns about that data getting in the hands of third parties or other people, which may be private. So the biggest business is for business, the biggest challenge for business is to guardrail or to protect customers and clients' private information. Because once that's not protected or leaked, then you got some vulnerability there.
Okay.
A lot of them, really.
All right. So as you know, as what we're looking at, and as what we're learning, we're talking about chatbots and you know the great benefits. Also, you're saying some parameters need to be put in place for the business owners, just to make sure that they're protecting themselves legally, right? Just so that they're covered in these situations or in these cases.
The biggest parameter needs to be put in place is business need to be educated. They got to know and understand what this is. You see, one of the worst positions a business owner can be in is to have a successful business that's being run by a team of people that you don't understand what they're doing for you and with your information. The business has to have a good, solid understanding of how everything is operating, the CEO, the CFO, all up there, so that they can know how to police it, number one. Number two, they got to put guardrails in place to protect people's privacy and their information in order so that they don't open themselves up for litigation.
Okay, and what would you say when it comes to this? Are current laws equipped to regulate AI, or are we just playing catch up? Right? Are we after the fact now, as opposed to being proactive and taking preventative measures?
John, we've long said the wheels of justice turn slow. The wheels of justice turn slow. I mean, there are some. I was in a courtroom the other day, and they was like, "Fax me the information." I'm like, "Fax? Come on, I can't just take you a picture and scan it or something." No, they wanted me to fax them the information. You know, I'm like, I ain't had a fax machine in 15 years. You know what I mean? Okay, here's the deal. The law has been around for a long time. You know, there's this AI task force, supposedly, that the president has put in place, and something's supposed to go in effect, I think, on the 11th of December of 2025. Well, that's already happened. But the truth of the matter is, AI law is well established. It's federal law, and it's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8. That's the Creator's Clause. That law protecting creators' intellectual property has been there for a long time. Is the law playing catch up? Not really. We just see a lot of volume and a lot of tension around AI. But remember, we said that in 1991, this book was published in 1991, mm-hmm. okay, by Carrie de Bassinet. So in some areas, the law is playing catch up, but I think the public is playing catch up more because we've just become aware of what intellectual property is, and we're still fumbling around with that. Okay. And so this whole awakening over AI, everyone's excited about it, and they're talking creating graphics and articles and all this. Uh-huh. You might want to be asking yourself the question, do I own this? Number one. Hmm. And number two, am I buying myself a lawsuit?
Please expand on that. Please expand.
Using AI, holding it out as your creative works, using AI and doing work for other people, and not disclosing that work was AI generated or AI contributed, and you're selling it to somebody for $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, $50,000. They're paying you, and then all of a sudden they see the same or similar work pop up on somebody else's website, and then they run this test on it to see, was this AI generated or was this solely produced by this agency? Okay, a lot of people want to create agencies, and a lot of people want to take advantage of what people don't know, and I see a lot of that going on, and as a result, you might be setting yourself up for a lawsuit. You might be making quick money on the front end, but you might be paying a whole lot on the back end if you're found to have been deceptive, misleading, or fraudulent, or if you use somebody else's copyrighted material by mistake and sold it to a third party. We need to be careful out here, John, and think about ownership and think about some of the legal responsibilities and the legal liabilities that go along with some of these apps and all that we're creating. I don't hear very many people talking about what we're talking about today. Everybody talking, make that money, get that money, make that money. You want to make that money, get that money, you know, but you're going to be sitting up in some law firm with tears in your eyes trying to figure out how in the world do I get out of this. And I'm not wishing that on anybody. I'm not wishing that for anybody. Be smart, be upfront, get agreements in place, but for heaven's sake, disclose to people that you're using AI in a situation where you need to do that. Mm. You need to tell people that. Don't be sitting around talking, well, I didn't tell them. And then at the end, and they, well, I did, you know, I used AI to help you write your book. I used AI to help you write this agreement. Well, you can do that, but make sure they know about it.
Mm. That makes sense. That makes sense. That, and I want to switch gears a little bit. As what we've been seeing in the news, and as of late, has what's taken place with the head coach, well, the former head coach for the University of Michigan. He's currently in custody now. Seeing what has taken place with Coach Moore. And I want to bring just the facts to the situation in terms of currently what he has been accused of, and he's currently been accused of the charges are home invasion at the third degree, stalking, domestic relationship, breaking and entering, entry without owner permission. And Dad, from what you've seen from a legal perspective, what is there information that we're not considering here?
Well, I'm quite sure there is, because the investigation is what? Ongoing.
The investigation is ongoing. That's correct.
Yeah. So there's a lot of information that we don't know about. Okay. What we know is headlines. What we know is mug shots. What we know is, you know, sound bites that we've heard. Okay. And this is a situation here that's high profile. And anytime you got a high profile case, everybody in the media and everybody connected to it wants a piece of that action. And what we have here is the same thing over and over and over again. We just change the faces, change the names, and it's the same script. People every day get charged with home invasion, breaking and entering, whatever he's been charged with, all his charges, people get charged with that every day. They just didn't have a $4, $5, or $6, or $10 million career job offer. They just wasn't a high profile person. They was an everyday John Doe or Mary Smith. Yeah. So when we have a situation like this, we have someone that's high profile in the media. We spotlighted a very unfortunate situation, but there's a lot we don't know, and there's a lot we'll never know. But we have to allow the legal process to take its course and run its course. It's so unfortunate, John, but this is the price that we pay for our choices. Bottom line.
Yeah, and with this being a high profile case, right? With him being at a prestigious university like University of Michigan, and just like you said, when the case initially broke, there's a lot of information being shared. Some information is hearsay, and you know, different things are being shared from different places. The University of Michigan has even come out and said that they're doing an internal investigation. But even outside of that, like, how can we even be sure and be certain that he will get a fair shake, right? Just because it's high profile, people are going to have emotions. And Dad, with high profile cases like this, how can they even assure that, you know, he will get judged rightly and justly?
Well, you apply the law. Okay, you apply the law. The law is black and white. The law, the scales of the Lady Justice is supposed to be blind, right? Mm-hmm. So we hear all of these things, and it's just like the cases that we've talked about on here before. Okay, you remember the Penn State case? Mm-hmm. Sandusky, okay? Sandusky. That wasn't too long ago that case came out. It was a little different than this case, but the whole department, the whole athletic department was turned upside down. Because of what happened there. You got this case right here. You got a lot of elements at play here. You got a high profile university. You got a handsome young man and a woman of the opposite race. You got a mixed race situation going on here. You got a high value contract. You got a winning team. You got a whole bunch of fans and community involved here. John, this thing is just loaded with layers and layers and layers of emotional energy, community excitement, and people that are hurt and disappointed over this. But at the end of the day, a judge got to do what a judge got to do. They got to apply the law. A lawyer got to do what a lawyer got to do. They got to argue the law. And that's what's going to happen. How can we assure that this man get a fair trial? By applying the letter of the law. Will it be fair? Fair is subjective. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it slow. Fair is subjective. One more time. Fair is subjective. Okay. It's not an objective standard. Okay. Today is Thursday. That's objective. Today is a beautiful day. That's subjective. It may not be beautiful for somebody else. So how can we make sure it's fair? Apply the law, apply the rules of the law. And John, we know that in the law, you got to have good legal. If you got good legal, and he should have some money in the bank somewhere.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
And I wish him the best. I wish the young lady the best. Wish the Michigan best. Wish everybody the best. But he put himself in a vulnerable situation, and you know, addictions are not logical. for all of us who want to say, well, how could he do that? And why he did that? And that was so dumb. You made dumb decisions. You got your, why did you eat that other piece of pie you ate the other day? And you know you big as a refrigerator.
Oh, no.
why you did what you did? You know, so you want to judge this brother talking about he that was dumb, that was crazy. Why you do crazy stuff too? So chill out. No, it wasn't a good thing to do. Addictions are not logical. That's but we wish them the best.
Definitely. You know, tough situation. Many people were affected. Yes, he was a black man. Got involved with the staffer at the University of Michigan. And you know, as details continue to come out, people will have their opinions, people will have their thoughts, and everything like that. But hey, we just pray that the legal system does what the legal system does, and you know, I pray that there is a redemption story somewhere in here. I just pray that is the case. But yeah, that. Oh, go ahead. What you got?
John, I want to thank our viewers, those that are watching. I want to thank our viewers. And if you got a question or a comment, drop it in the comment box, and we'll make sure we respond to your comments.
Yeah. Please go ahead and drop those in the comment section, especially if you're joining us live on YouTube for the YouTube experience. As always, you can drop your questions down in the chat. And, you know, when we see the question, we'll pop it in. We'll definitely get you an answer. But yeah, Dad, you know, that's gonna wrap up our law talk for today. Grateful to have you join this Thursday and every Thursday, and looking forward to seeing you in person next Thursday, right?
Hey,
Right. Seeing you soon, and family. If you know, if you're in a situation, especially around the intellectual property sector, and you know, you're looking for an attorney that you can trust, you're looking for somebody to represent you, you're looking for somebody to go to bat with you, go to fredjoneslaw.com. All right, fredjoneslaw.com, and attorney Fred Jones, you'll get to speak with the man in person, and get an opportunity to, you know, really get some legal counsel, because good legal counsel is something that we need in 2025 and beyond, because at the end of the day, in a perfect sense, we would love to fight for ourselves. We would love to go to bat for ourselves, but the emotions and so much energy is everywhere else. We need to have somebody else represent us on our behalf, going to bat for us in those cases, in those spaces, in those situations. So, Attorney Fred Jones, thanks for joining us, sir. And we'll definitely see you next Thursday right here on Law Talk with Attorney Fred Jones.
See you at the top.
All right, Dad. Family. Okay, so that's going to wrap up our Law Talk segment for the show today. But there is some other things that's happening right now in the world. And y'all, I wouldn't be me if I didn't cover this particular activity that's going on, that's happening. And one of the biggest things that I have seen in just online, right? Producer Britt sent it to me. I saw it. I said, this is getting wild, right? Because one area that I love, and I always have loved, is just the area in the space of podcasting, right? And if y'all haven't been under a rock, then you all also have seen this. But y'all, this is major, okay? And the reason why this is so major is because one thing that we're seeing right now, like never before, we're currently seeing podcasting explode, and we're seeing different areas ultimately interchange and interact. What are you talking about, John? Well, right here, right? Netflix is expanding by adding 15 video podcasts. Oh my goodness. They're adding 15. So podcasting isn't just on YouTube anymore. It's not just in your ears anymore, but podcasting is coming over to Netflix. So in partnership with iHeart and with Barstool. Okay. So look, this is what the article says. Netflix is taking a major step into the world of video podcasts, announcing exclusive partnership with iHeart and Barstool Sports, which is one of the biggest, two of the biggest networks out there, to bring more than 15 top podcasts into its streaming platforms. Video episodes from these podcasts will launch in the U.S. in early 2026, all right, with additional markets to follow. And somebody might say, well, John, why is this so big? John, why is this relevant? Why does this matter? Well, I mean, one of the things that has always been relevant over the course of time has been the angle of media, right? Because when you have ultimately the ability to put out content,
to address the media or to share your thoughts, feelings, facts, opinions, you can ultimately influence the way people think, the way people move, and different things like that. So now with Netflix bringing on these platforms, now this creates another opportunity for exposure. This creates another opportunity to enhance experiences, but this also allows us to begin to learn and grow. So, you know, shout out to you know, Joe and Jada, and shout out to the Breakfast Club, Roy and Maul, and shout out to Pardon My Take. But also those of you out there who might be saying, you know, I believe I have something to say. I have thoughts, I have facts, I have feelings, I have opinions that I want to share with people. Well, I guess now could be your time to start a podcast too, right? And you could be the next person that ends up on Netflix, or, you know, you might just be on YouTube. But either way, y'all, now is the time. Because yeah, that's great news that, you know, they're getting bumped up and they're getting brought on the Netflix. But then the other side of that was that seeing that the other day from Hot 97 and the whole Ebro in the Morning crew, they just got cut. So, hey, and now also through sports media, we're seeing some of the most prolific and powerful sports figures in sports media. They're also getting cut. These are people that we felt and we thought that they were irreplaceable. But now we're now seeing them get replaced, or we're now seeing them get removed. So, y'all, I just want to hit on that real quick and wanted to just bring that to the forefront and make sure that y'all knew about that information there, just around podcasting and the value of that. Right. Because now at one point to where, you know, we would sit back and we would only watch what people would put before us. Now there's the opportunity to where we can put information and we can put content in front of other people at a high level. Also, family, if you're not connected with us on Fanbase, y'all make sure to tap into Fanbase. We live stream the audio of our show Monday through Friday on the Fanbase app. Shout out to Isaac Hayes III. I've been seeing him do a phenomenal job of promoting Fanbase and just talk about what it represents and how it's an opportunity for us as people to come together and to be able to pour into a platform that believes in us as creatives and a platform that supports us as creatives. And I've watched Isaac Hayes III over probably the past 3 or 4 years since I've had an introduction to the work that he's been doing with Fanbase. And he is constantly about giving money back to the creator. Right. And he also counters and shows that some of the things that Instagram has been doing or Meta and some of these other platforms, and how, you know, when you pay, then of course that's going to determine how many people see. But on Fanbase, he oftentimes talks about through the platform and through the app and the tools that he has created through Fanbase, it allows creators to have that organic reach, to be able to be seen and, you know, also to be able to share their expertise and show what they know. But family, we're going to go ahead and get ready to get out of here. Y'all, we're 7 days away from Christmas. Do you have your stockings up? Do you have your hot cocoa ready? Do you have a candy cane? I don't know. Do you just have the heat on because you're just ready to relax? It's just going to be a day off for you or some time off for you to relax. However you prepare, if you prepare, maybe you prepare for Kwanzaa. Hey, cool. Do what you do. But whatever you do, watch my shoes. Okay. And also do what you do. But y'all, just be safe out here, man. Be safe. There are many people who don't have the best of intentions in this holiday season. And if you're going out and you're shopping, make sure you clear the stuff out your car, put it in the back of your trunk before you even get to the store, the mall, or wherever. Because like I said, everybody doesn't have the purest of intentions these times. So make sure that you protect yourself, make sure you protect your family, and make sure you also protect your health, y'all, okay? So take your emergency, drink your warm water with lemon like producer Britt, drink some warm tea, and then make sure you bundle up if it's cold where you're at, because y'all, nobody wants to go into the new year sick with a cough or anything like that. But family, we're going to go ahead and get ready to get out of here. Tomorrow's going to be Fun Friday, so you know we got to bring some energy. We're going to bring a little bit more excitement. I might even have a game to play. I might play a game with producer Britt tomorrow. Let's see how I feel. See how I feel. But family, if you've been enjoying this content, make sure you subscribe on the channel on YouTube at Speak Your Success Media, and be sure to give us a thumbs up so YouTube knows that you appreciate us and you also enjoy the content we're putting out. But family, that's going to wrap it up for today. I'm going to encourage you, speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue, all right, continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?